This morning, God has led me to use a metaphor. And I've never been very comfortable with metaphors. I never really understood them very good. It's just like a metaphor is like something. It's kind of like a surprise. A metaphor is kind of like a surprise in that you see something, but then you're surprised because it's actually something else. And so I'm going to use a metaphor, and the metaphor is going to be the stone. You know, when I was in high school, 1968 or something like that, pet rocks became popular. How many of you guys remember your pet rocks? You know, it's like, the ultimate pet. You don't have to take them for a walk. They don't make messes in your yard or your house. They're very compassionate and very patient. So this morning, we're taking this pet rock and we're going to look at the stone. Now, today's Palm Sunday, and I don't want to skip over Palm Sunday. On the week before Jesus rose from the dead, he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the people, he sent his disciples into town, and they got a donkey, and Jesus came riding into town, and by the Spirit of God was moving in the disciples and in Jesus and in the people, and they began to throw their garments and palm leaves down in the road to pave the way for the coming king. And Jesus came into town, and then he immediately went to the temple and he cast out the money lenders and the people profiting from the temple and saying, my father's house was meant to be a house of prayer. Hallelujah. And throughout that week, Jesus spent every day coming to Jerusalem, and in the evenings he would retire to Bethany. And then the night before he was crucified, he met with his disciples and they celebrated the Lord's Supper when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so because of that, we remember the death. We remember his body and blood. And next Sunday, we're going to have communion and share together in the body and blood of Jesus. And so we're reminded that we need to remember to come to the cross, like the song we were just singing. You know, I need to come to the cross. As a Christian, you don't have cross graduation school where you don't ever have to come back to the cross. And this morning, you know, God has put in my heart this song that we used to sing, and I'm not going to sing it for you now. Everybody say, "Thank God." It goes, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of your love." And so we always have to come to that place in our lives where we say, "God, take me, use me. Take my feet, take my hands, take my heart, take my soul, take everything in me and use me, God." And he will. He will use you. And so this morning, God is going to use a stone. He's going to use a stone to speak to us. And it's not the first time God has ever used a stone to speak to people. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites crossed over the Jordan to come into the Promised Land, God says, "I want you to put up a stone on the banks of the Jordan River. It's going to be a stone of testimony. You're going to see that stone for years and ages to come to remind you of what God has done in your lives, that he set you free from bondage and brought you miraculously through the desert and into the promised land. And so God had them set up a stone of testimony. And that stone spoke to the people of Israel for years, reminding them of what God has done. And outside, right outside the front door, if you walk straight out and look to your left, straight out about 15 feet, look to your left, you'll see a big stone right in among the bushes. That's the stone of testimony for New Covenant that reminds us of what God has done in our lives. And so God has used stones to speak to people. And when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the people were shouting Hosanna and the Pharisees were indignant, you know? They were mad and angry and they said, tell your disciples to hush up. And Jesus said, if they don't cry out and sing praises, then the stones themselves will cry out and sing praises. So this morning I have a stone that speaks. I've brought in as a special guest, metaphorically speaking. Only this stone doesn't cry out. This stone speaks of death and despair. This stone speaks of the enemies of God. This stone speaks of separation from God. You see, the night that Jesus was crucified and he died on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a ruler, he was one of the ruling Pharisees in Jerusalem, but he was also secretly a follower of Jesus. And so he went to Pilate and begged Pilate to let him take the body of the now dead Jesus down off the cross and let him deal with the body in a respectable way. And so Joseph of Arimathea went and got the body of Jesus and took him down from the cross and came and he wrapped him in linen cloth and came and put him in his own tomb. And he rolled in front of that tomb a stone. Now, Joseph of Arimathea didn't mean anything mean by that stone. He meant protect the body of Jesus Christ from grave robbers, from desecration. But that stone that's blocking the tomb speaks out to us this morning. Those on the outside can't get in. And in theory, those on the inside can't get out. And so I want to take you to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Before we do that, let us pray. God, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. Take my hands, God, and let them move at the impulse of your love, God. Oh, God, I pray that you would move this morning, God. Let your grace be upon my words. Let your Holy Spirit move through me, Father God. God, here I am. Use me, God. We pray that you would anoint your word, which is anointed, which is powerful, which is mighty. God, to open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear, God. Open up our hearts that we can perceive your greatness and your holy awesomeness, God. God, move this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The stone was blocking the tomb. Those on the outside couldn't get in, and those on the inside, in theory, couldn't get out. And the stone is speaking to us today of death and despair. Let me read you the passage here. Mark 16, verses 1 through 3 say this. And when the Sabbath was over, stop right there. The Sabbath was over. That's Saturday, right? We're talking Saturday. Jesus was crucified on Friday. So Jesus has been in the grave now for 24 hours. And it says, when the Sabbath was over, and that means that sundown had come, and it was Saturday evening. And it says, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices. So picture this, Sabbath in Jerusalem, nobody can buy anything or sell anything on the Sabbath, right? It's outlawed. You can't do that. You can't buy or sell anything because of the Sabbath laws. But after sundown, you could. So Mary, and Salome. Salome, by the way, was the wife of Zebedee. Zebedee was the father of James and John, the sons of thunder. Hallelujah. And so these women bought spices so that they might come and anoint him, come and anoint Jesus in death. And it says, very early on the first day of the week, hold on now, Friday, Jesus crucified. Saturday, they go and buy spices after sundown. Now, it's the next morning. So they went Saturday night and bought spices. Presumably, the market was open or they knew the spice dealer. And they went to his house and bought spices specifically for the death of Jesus. Presumably, they bought frankincense and other spices to anoint his body. And the reason they did that is because they didn't do embalming and bodies didn't last very long. And so they anointed them with spices so that they would smell a sweet fragrance in death. And so it says very early on the first day of the week. What day of the week is that? Sunday. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So right after sunrise, they come to the tomb. Picture this. And they were saying to one another, and I believe they were saying to one another, verse 3, on the way there. They were saying to one another, on the way there, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Now, please don't read if you've got your Bibles and phone apps open. Please don't read verse 4. That will spoil my sermon for next week. Spoiler alert. Don't read verse 4. Which, you know what it means. It means you're all going to read verse 4 right now. You're going to open up your phones and see what verse 4 says. Anytime somebody says, don't do something, what's the first impulse? We're going to do it. That's our sinful nature, people. So they say, who will roll away the stone from us from the entrance to the tomb? And so picture this morning. We have a tomb with a huge stone, too big for three women to move. Who will roll that away for us? And I believe that that stone is speaking to us today, metaphorically speaking. Who will roll away the stone for us, we're going to deal with next week. Today we're talking about this stone that's sitting in front of the tomb. It's in our way. It's speaking to us of death and destruction because it's hiding inside the tomb, the death of Jesus. It speaks to us of the enemies of God. It speaks to us of anything that separates us from God. Those on the outside couldn't get in. And presumably, the one on the inside couldn't get out. So the stone is speaking to us today. First of all, of death and despair. The stone speaks of death holding Jesus in the tomb. The stone speaks of death holding our loved ones in death. The ones that have passed on before us. Those that have gone. The stone speaks of death. Speaks of despair. The disciples were hiding in fear and despaired. Jesus was dead. Woe was me. What are we going to do? Jesus is dead. The stone says, hey, your Savior is dead. So the stone says, death, destruction. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, he said, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What? What? For I have overcome the world. So the stone speaks of death and despair, and Jesus speaks life and victory. The stone also speaks of the enemies of God. Jesus was in that tomb because of the enemies of God. The Roman government was an enemy of Jesus Christ. They put a seal on that stone to mark the fact that it was closed, that nobody was going to go into that tomb, and by the authority of the Roman government, nobody was coming out of that tomb. Jesus' enemies were more than just the Roman government. Jesus' enemies were the faithless religious leaders of that day. Now, when we talk about faithless religious leaders, we need to examine the church today and say, you know, I believe there's faithless religious leaders out there who aren't putting their trust in Jesus Christ, who are putting their trust in their own ways, in the ways of corporate marketing, the ways of the world. Faithless religious leaders put Jesus in that tomb. The government actually wanted to release Jesus. I find nothing wrong with him. I find that he has done nothing wrong. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. They didn't want Jesus walking around. So the stone speaks of the enemies of God, the Roman government, the faithless religious leaders, and also the spiritual enemies of God. Satan wanted to see Jesus crucified. Satan wanted to kill him. Satan came to him when he first started his ministry and says, "Hey, serve me, and I can make you great. Turn these stones into bread. Leap off the pinnacle of the temple, and you will not be harmed. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." And Jesus resisted that temptation, but the devil wanted to see him killed because Jesus resisted that temptation. So the stone speaks to us of the enemies of God, the Roman Empire, the religious leaders, and Satan, supernatural enemies of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, we face enemies too. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." But what do? "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." And so what do? Paul says, put on the armor of God. We take the shield of faith. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shod our feet with the gospel of peace, and clothe ourselves with truth. So that we, why? Because we wrestle against demonic forces. We have power in faith. We have power in not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, he said, he made him who knew no sin to become righteous, to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in him. So the stone speaks of despair and death, and it speaks of the enemies of God, but we're given power over that. Lastly, and don't get ready to go, it's a long lastly. I just want you paying attention, that's all. The stone speaks of anything that separates us from God. The women are coming to the grave, and they realize that they're separated from God. They realize they're separated from their Savior by a stone. And the stone speaks of separation. And they say, "Who will roll away the stone?" And so they are separated from God. And sin separates us from God. Sin causes us to be separated from God. And the women believe that the stone is going to keep them separated. Paul says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, let me see, 1 Corinthians 15, right, verses 55 through 57, he says, "O death, where is your sting?" Hallelujah. Where is the sting of God? He says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. Sin keeps us separated from God. But I'm glad that he didn't stop there. He says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The stone speaks of separation, and separation speaks of sin. And Jesus gives us victory over sin through his death. In answer to the stone who speaks of despair and death, the stone was rolled away. The stone had no power in and of itself. Someday we will see our loved ones who have gone on before us, and no stone can keep us separated from them. The stone could not keep Jesus in the tomb. Jesus rose conquering death for us. The stone speaks of death and despair. Jesus speaks of life and peace. In answer to the stone that speaks of the enemies of God, Jesus rose from the dead, conquering death and conquering all his foes. He is victorious. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Hallelujah. Don't start singing it because I'm probably in the wrong key. Hallelujah. So the stone speaks to us of death and despair. Jesus speaks of life and victory. The stone speaks of the enemies of God. The stone speaks of victory over the enemies and conquering the enemies. And then the stone lastly speaks of anything that separates us from our Savior. And what is the answer to that? Paul answers that in Romans 8, verse 35. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? A stone, can that separate us from the love of God? No, or peril, or sword. And he says this, verse 36, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Here he throws this verse in there when talking about not being separated from God, about death. He's throwing it in there because death cannot separate us from God. Amen, amen. Look at verse 37. He says, but in all these, in that word, but, we face tribulations. We face trials. We die. We die daily. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Look at verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels or demons, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, nor any stone can keep us separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So my question this morning for you and for me is, do you have a stone in your life that's keeping you from God? Is that stone sin? Is that stone death? Perhaps bitterness, resentment. Perhaps a stone of stumbling, a stumbling block, a stumbling stone has caused you to stumble in your faith. The resurrection gives us victory over everything. Yes, the cross of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus is immensely important in our lives. We cannot do without it. Because you can't have a resurrection unless somebody has died. So, yeah, the cross is immensely important in our life, but the resurrection validates what the cross is all about. If he didn't raise from the dead, if that stone had victory, that stone was placed there as a capstone on the death of Jesus. We're going to put that stone there, and that's going to keep him in the grave, and he's dead and gone forever. But the resurrection proves that he is and was the Son of God. There's no power on earth that could keep that stone in place. There's no power in heaven or on earth that could keep that stone in place. And I believe that if you have a stone in your life, something that's keeping you from God, open up your heart this morning to the power of God. Open up your eyes of faith and trust in Him. Because even though it might look like it's the end, even though it might look like Jesus is dead and gone, that stone cannot keep Jesus in the grave. Let's pray this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and you're hearing my words, and I know that this is true, that God is speaking to you as I speak. And I have no ideas what he's saying, but I know from experience that while I'm sharing the word of God and sharing the power of God, the greatness of God, that God is speaking to you. And perhaps he's saying that this is a good day to consecrate yourself to God. This is a good day to make a commitment to follow Jesus. To ask God to forgive us of our sins. To help us to walk daily in his footsteps. Praise you, Father God. What is God saying to you this morning? Is he saying that now's a good time to make a commitment? If he is, raise your hand. Would you just raise your hand while we're in prayer? Is now a good time to make a commitment to Jesus? Hallelujah. Just raise your hand right now. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Lord, we give you praise and we dedicate ourselves to you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I consecrate myself to you, God. God, take my heart, take my hands, take my feet, take my mind, take my money, God, and use them for your glory. Take everything that I have, God. Take my attitude. Take my sins, God. Praise you, Father.